Lord, we just come before you this morning so grateful that we serve a God of compassion. And many of us come with heavy hearts, with something on our hearts today. And this is when we'd like to lift those prayer requests to you. Lord, we pray for Christy, for Bill, for Lois, for a mother who's in hospice care, for Denny, and for Terry. And Lord, we also lift up all those people who are on our hearts this morning, and we say their names before you now. Lord, open our hearts and open our minds to receive what you would have for us this morning. I give you my words. I give you my actions. I give you all of me. Just please speak through me this morning as I have this awesome privilege to walk my friends through this lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. I heard we had some trouble with the kiosks. I apologize. We will get to the bottom of that. We'll have the tech guys come and figure out why is it that that happens on Wednesday mornings, right when we all need to check in. So thank you for your patience, and I'm very sorry that that became frustrating today. All right, ladies, we are in the book of Mark. If you'd like to go ahead and get your Bible out, and turn to Mark chapter 1. Am I the only person who sings a little song in my head sometimes when I have to find the book of the Bible? I also count on my fingers, just a confession. Okay, so while you're turning, I thought it would be fun. I'm going to sing you my New Testament song this morning, and I'm not a singer, so forgive my voice. I'm curious if any of you know this same song. My mom taught it to me when I was a little girl, and I don't really know why, because we didn't really go to church, but then it came in really handy when I was in my 20s, and I started getting really into church, and I became a Christian, and now I'm in seminary, and I still sing the song, and here's how it goes. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Acts, Romans, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3 John's, Jude, and Revelation. Does anyone know that song? You know it! A few of you know it. Okay, so this is what's funny. So I get together in my 20s with the man I ended up marrying, and so Mark and I are talking one day, and somehow the New Testament song comes up, and I said, oh, he said, I know the song, and I said, I know the song too. And so I started to sing the song, and he said, that's not the song. And I said, well, what's your song? And so he started singing this totally different song, and I said, that's not the song. So we had this, like, inside joke for a number of years about whose New Testament song was right, and then we had our first child, and then that was Charlie, and when he got to be about 2 or 3, and they get to that age where you can teach them, like, the Itsy Bitsy Spider, and you can teach them little things to memorize, and I thought, I'm going to teach him the New Testament song. And I'm pretty sure that during the day, I was teaching him my version, and when Mark was with him, Mark was teaching him his version. And when Charlie comes home from school today, I will ask him, sing the New Testament song for me, because I don't know which one he ended up learning. But did that give you time to get to Mark chapter 1? There's one for the Old Testament, too, but we'll have to save that. It's a long song. There's a lot of books in the Old Testament. All right, that was embarrassing. Okay, Mark chapter 1. Okay, now when Molly and I wrote this lesson, the lesson was supposed to be about the healing of the leper, but we intentionally wanted to back it up a few verses because as Sandra alluded to in your homework, talks about, there is this beautiful, there's these two bookends of this story where this exchange of places happens between Jesus and this leper. So I want to back it up and start in verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Now, I want to give you time to talk about this more in your small groups this morning. I'm not going to spend too much time on it, but look at this behavior that Jesus models for us. He starts his day very early in the morning while it's still dark, and he is practicing his Father's presence. He comes into his Father's presence, and my guess is that in that time of prayer, he is seeking his Father on what he would have him do. Because he comes away with that time with the clarity to then go to the disciples and say, "Here's where we're going to go, because my purpose on this earth is to preach." So Kay talked about this when we did the introduction to miracles. The miracles that he performs are to authenticate his message. The miracles are the signs and wonder to show the power that he has, that he truly is divine. Because anybody could go around saying the kinds of things that Jesus said. But if you don't have the divine power to back it up, then why would people follow? So he's teaching and he's preaching. That is his mission on this earth, to preach the kingdom and to preach a message of salvation. But as he does that, he is healing and he is driving out demons and he is performing miracles. So verse 40, a man with leprosy came to him. Now we only get about three verses of this very, very important interaction that tells us so much about the character of Jesus. So we have to spend some time today filling in the story for ourselves. So the first thing I did when I started writing this lesson was I realized I really don't know that much about leprosy. We read about leprosy in the Bible, but I don't know that much about it. So I began to read about leprosy, and there was some information in your homework about it. But here's what I want you to know. Here's what was surprising to me. Leprosy is still a problem in the world today. Now, we don't hear about it because 95% of the population is immune to it. It's caused by a bacteria, and most of us are immune to it. You could be exposed to it, and you would never contract leprosy. But there are parts of the world, particularly in the third world, where it's still quite an issue. In fact, the figure I read was that there's like 1 million cases of diagnosed leprosy at any given point, and they think that's probably about half of how many cases there really are, because not all these people can go and get diagnosed and get treatment. So at this point in time, it's a very treatable disease. I think they came up with a medication in 1982, and so if you catch the leprosy, you can take medication and stop its effects. But back in biblical times, of course, they did not have that option, and it was rampant. We read about all kinds of lepers. We only have two accounts in the Gospels where Jesus heals lepers, the one that we're doing today, and then also the story of the 10 lepers, which we'll do in the future this semester. We read about Simon the leper. Remember Simon the leper? He probably didn't have leprosy anymore, or he wouldn't be hosting parties in his home. So there's a good chance that Simon got healed of his leprosy. We just don't have the account of that. So here's the thing about leprosy. It's a bacteria, and then it affects your nervous system. So it attacks the nervous system, and what it does is it causes people to lose feeling. So it's very easy for them to inflict injury on themselves because they can't feel when your skin is rubbing down or when you're doing manual labor and you're causing your own skin to come away. You can't feel it. And at some point, the leprosy begins to attack your internal organs. It begins to get inside of your bone marrow. And so you, oftentimes you'll have, I know this is, it's really gross and it almost makes me want to look away, but it's so important that we understand how devastating this disease is so that we can appreciate what Jesus does in this story. So at some point it attacks the bone marrow and causes people to lose their fingers. Many times they won't have legs because it has so infected them. So leprosy still goes on today, and I thought it might be interesting for us to just get a glimpse of what would it be like to live with leprosy. So I want to show you a couple of clips, and we're going to have to travel to a different part of the world, but just sit back and watch for a moment.
ปัจจุบันมีผู้ป่วยที่เราให้การสงเคราะห์ 161 คนแล้วก็สมาชิกด้วยอาจจะเป็นสามีภรรยาบุตรหลานนะครับรวมแล้วก็ประมาณสัก 6-700 คนครับผมทั้งหมดที่อยู่ในนิคมครับผมปัจจุบันนี้เป็นผู้ป่วยที่ไม่มีเชื้อแล้วจากเมื่อก่อนนี้แบบว่าเขาไม่ค่อยมีความรู้เรื่องเกี่ยวกับโรคเรื้อนนะครับผมก็มีการรังเกียจ แต่ปัจจุบันนี้รอบนิคมความรังเกียจตรงนั้นลดน้อยลงแต่ว่าถ้าเผื่อระยะห่างไปเป็นต่างอำเภอซึ่งเขาไม่ได้คุ้นเคยตรงนี้เขาไม่รู้จักตรงนี้มันก็ไม่แน่อาจจะมีความรังเกียจคุณจะอยากตายเป็นหมอเล็บคุณเขาว่าเป็นหนองทางเล็บมันแล้วมันก็
เพราะมันเป็นคนหนอแตกแตกมันก็ไม่หายตอนนี้ก็ดูก็มันเลยยกไปหนึ่งโลยกไปหลุดกันดูไปหนึ่งออกมามันเป็นทีละข้อละข้อพอมาเป็นหนึ่งข้อนี่เห็นไหมว่าแต่ก่อนมันหลุดทีละข้อนะรอบข้อมันก็สั้นมาข้อตอนหลังมองดังเนี้ย ถ้าจะทำยังไงดีไว้ข้อเราจะไปเลยก่อนแล้วก็นี่เลยถ้าจะทำนี่เงื่อนไอ้ผุนั่นออกมาพอเงื่อนผุนั่นออกก็ไอ้ที่ตรงที่ไม่มันมีเนื้ออะไรมันก็มันเลือดมันไหลเจ็บแล้วก็ค้างอยู่คนเดียวมันอยู่ค้างนั่นทางนี้ตามทางนี้ทางนี้ต่อ
And she cried all by herself. And he said, the people in the colony, they're not contagious anymore, but they get so ridiculed in society that it's more comfortable for them to go and live in a colony where they're not so abnormal. And at some point, the leprosy can begin to attack the tissues that you see that deforms your face. It can attack your eyes. She's probably blind in that eye. I want you to watch one more. And it's a story of a little boy who had a little bit different outcome.
My name is Nilu Sunaro. This is my story. My mother died when I was 8, and my father died when I was still in my mother's womb. Around the time my mother died, I started getting wounds on my hands and on my feet, and I found it hard to walk. I went to see the village witch doctor. At night he chanted over me, threw rice, and lifted me up to heal me. However, I became even more ill, and my hands and feet started to seize up. Then I was told that I had leprosy. When they found out I had leprosy, the other people in my village made me live on my own because they said my illness was contagious. I wasn't allowed to play with the other children. I used to cry and cry and felt so depressed. I thought the leprosy was going to kill me. I used to think about committing suicide by falling from a cliff, but I was just too scared to go through with it. When I went to INS clinic, I was given medicine and clean clothes, as my clothes were in rags. The INS staff touched me and cleaned my wounds. They put my feet in water and washed them. I was overwhelmed by their love and care. I'd never experienced anything like it.
A star.
I went to a Christian fellowship for patients and staff and got to know Jesus. Now that I know Jesus, I feel that I know the true God. Nowadays, I work for INF in the kitchen garden. I train patients how to grow vegetables and how to protect themselves from further injury. I'm thankful to God for the great things He's done in my life. I had no way to earn a living, no food, nowhere to live, and I was alone when I arrived as a boy in tears. God has blessed me with a home and a family. I have a wife and four children. I'm able to earn a living because of my work with INF. My children are doing so well in their studies. God has done great things for me, and I'm so thankful to Him.
Isn't that beautiful? And it's gut-wrenching. He said they touched him. Did you catch that? Nobody would touch him. 10 years old. And we hear about when babies are, when they're left, when they're in an orphanage and they don't get physical touch, it causes attachment disorders. We are created for touch. And it just occurred to me as we watched it this morning that his leprosy is how he met Jesus. Isn't that beautiful and sad at the same time? So now let's read it. Verse 40. A man with leprosy. This account also shows up in Matthew and Luke's Gospels. And Luke was a physician. And it's fascinating to me because Luke tells us a man who was full of leprosy came to Jesus. The woman that we saw first, she was full of leprosy. It had gone untreated for so long that she had lost most of her body to it, probably her vision. This man who comes to Jesus, he's full of leprosy. And he begged him on his knees. He gets down on his knees and he begs. And Luke's gospel tells us that he got face down. He gets all the way down and he begs. And he says, if you are willing, make me clean. He knows that Jesus can do that one thing that he needs that will change his life. And he's got one shot at getting at him. The fact that this man came to Jesus is a big deal because he was breaking a bunch of rules in coming into public, coming into community, being around people. And to get that close, you were not allowed to do that. Let's just take a quick trip back to Leviticus. And if you ever tried to read the Bible through, straight through, this is probably about where you gave up the reading program. Turn to Leviticus chapter 13. This is when there is a great amount of detail about skin diseases. And it goes on to talk about defiling molds. But in chapter 13, here's what would happen. So the priests were also sort of the medical doctor. Can you imagine if Pastor Doug was also the doctor? Or Kay and Bob, and he'd say, Kay, I have this strange rash. I'd be one of your kids. So the people would come to the priest, and then the priest has all this instruction on how to diagnose these various diseases. Now, why did God set this up? Why did he put this out in great detail? He did it to protect the nation of Israel from infectious diseases. There is a reason why there were all these rules. So a person would come and present themselves to the priest, and the priest would then examine the type of sore or wound or like the what it looked like on their skin. And then if you go to verse 44, this is where it gets into the actual diagnosis of leprosy. It's the worst kind of skin disease. Okay, it's way worse than eczema or psoriasis or whatever else you could have. In verse 44, so then the man is diseased and he's unclean if he has leprosy. Unclean. Big deal. We're going to talk more about that in a second. The priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. Anyone with such a defiling disease must, one, wear torn clothes so that they would be noticeable in case you got too close. Two, let their hair be unkept, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, unclean, unclean, anywhere they went. Can you imagine how shameful that would feel? That anywhere you went, you had to name out that thing about you that you were so ashamed of? Just say it out loud. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. Remember, there was no treatment or cure back then. This meant you were unclean the rest of your life. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So here he comes around all these people, and he comes to Jesus, and he comes in a position of humility, and he probably comes in fear, and yet he comes with great belief. He knows that Jesus can make him clean. Verse 41. Jesus was filled with what? Compassion. He was filled with compassion. Some translations say he was indignant, and honestly, there are manuscripts that go both ways. It bothered me about the indignant piece, and so I read a little, and if Jesus was indignant, if that was the true word that was meant to be there, it's probably that he was angry at this fallen world. That the fact that this man stood before him, just like the people we saw, begging to be made clean. Jesus was filled with compassion. If we could feel just a little bit of compassion watching those people's stories, can you imagine the amount of compassion that Jesus could feel? And he said, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately. And he wasn't just cleansed. So we can imagine the disfiguration, the skin boils, whatever it was, he was cleansed. But at this point, he was full of leprosy. It was probably in his organs. Not only was he cleansed on the outside, but he is now well enough to run off and go tell people what just happened to him. He was completely healed. Now, Jesus does something interesting here. And he does this on multiple occasions. You'll see this in some other miracles, where he gives someone a warning after he has healed them. In verse 43, Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. This is strong language. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Why did Jesus say, go offer a sacrifice? As a testimony to them. So in the homework, I had you read through Leviticus 14, so we won't do it again right now because it's a little bit long. But in Leviticus 14, we are told the process that a person would go through if they were healed from the skin disease. They go back to the priest who examines them and makes sure that they are indeed well. And then they go through a cleansing process. It's totally symbolic. They offer sacrifices. And so Jesus is doing a couple things here. First of all, he is saying, go as a testimony to them. This means the man would need to go to Jerusalem, to go to the temple, which, by the way, lepers were not even allowed in Jerusalem. So he's supposed to go on about a 60-mile journey to Jerusalem, to the temple, to present himself to a priest. And he's been healed, right? So no one's going to believe that he had leprosy. So he probably would take a family member with him who could testify that indeed this man has been totally healed. Jesus wants him to present himself to the priest. He wants the priest to see his power. Because up to this point, the priests are the group that are not on board with who he is. They have a death wish on him. Jesus is also making a point that he upholds the law. Because he tells the man, go follow the process that's laid out in the law. But what does the man do? I kind of can't blame him. I mean, disappointed in him because I'm like, oh, that's so disobedient. Jesus just healed you. He totally changed your life. And you didn't obey him. But I'm just as guilty. So the man, in verse 45, instead, he goes out and he begins to talk freely and he spreads the news. He can't help but tell people what happened to him. And this is a big deal, right? Not only is he physically healed, but he is spiritually healed. For however many years, he has been outcast from society, has not been able to participate in their religious life or the ceremonies. He hasn't been able to be around his family. And all of a sudden now, that's all going to change. He gets restored back into community. And we were made for community. God is a Trinitarian God. He is community. We were made to be in community. So the man's excited, and he can't help but tell everybody what happened. But as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Oh my goodness. Who started out outside? The leper. The leper was outside in lonely places. Now, because he didn't obey, Jesus is outside in lonely places. He steps aside so that the leper can have his restoration. And it's so symbolic. It's what he did for us on the cross. He trades places with us. And you'll notice that from this point on, every time we read that Jesus is coming into a town and he's teaching and he's healing, he's got crowds. It's a problem now. They have a major crowd control problem. And he's constantly withdrawing out to the sea. There are times when he gets in a boat and pushes off to teach just so that he can have some space from all the people who are crowding him. Maybe he was trying to slow down the clock. I don't know why. He knew that he was on his way to the cross. I don't know why he told the people, don't talk about it. Go straight home. Don't say what happened. We don't know for sure. But what we do know from this story is that he has great compassion. He did not heal that leper because he had faith. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes he heals someone because of their faith. Sometimes he heals someone who doesn't have faith. There's no formula. But in this case, the text is clear that he was filled with compassion. And that's why he did it. And that's who he is. We serve a God who is so full of compassion. He can't help it. He is love. It's his being. It's who he is. And so we have this leper who spent however many years of his life living like the people we saw in the video. He was physically ill. He was spiritually starving. And the other thing is, he may have felt a tremendous amount of self-hatred and guilt, because many times in the Bible, leprosy was used as a curse. If you go back and read in 2 Samuel, when David curses Joab's house, he says, "May your family never be without a leper." Or in 2 Chronicles, God causes Uzziah to have leprosy. It's a curse from God. So no doubt there was probably some cultural thinking around leprosy being a curse. And if you had it, it's because you did something wrong or someone in your family did something wrong. So I love this man's bravery and his boldness when he comes and he pushes through the crowd and he says, "I know you can do it. Will you do it for me?" We're going to do the story of the woman with the bleeding problem in a few weeks, and she does the same thing. She pushes through a crowd to get to him because she knows that he's the one who can do the one thing she needs. And how many times do we look somewhere else? I am guilty of this. How many times do we do something else or look to a lower hanging fruit to give us the relief or the satisfaction or whatever we need that really only Jesus can give us? I do it all the time. But that's why we're talking about it today. May we be women who go to him for what only he can do. So Jesus touches him. And I've always wondered how this part works. When he casts out a demon or when he heals someone, I've always wondered what actually happens. because I have a hard time imagining that Jesus just sort of puts his hand on someone and you know, I would like to think it's more loving than that. I don't know how it looked. But if you saw the movie Risen, it came out at Easter time last year. It's a great movie. It's on DVD if you haven't seen it. I definitely recommend it. There's a scene where we have one screenwriter's interpretation of how this might have looked, how a healing might have looked. And I want to just close with that today.
Did you know he would rise?
He said he would, but truth be told, we doubted it.
Then what made you follow him?
He's going to do it.
Do what?
He's going to heal that man.
How?
What? Just what?
No one touches me.
A miracle. We saw them many times, Roman.
That's why.
God, thank you. Thank you that you are compassion. That you have compassion, but that you just are. You see every affliction that we have. You know it intimately. And we don't have to do anything to earn it. Lord, make us bold and make us brave. That we would come to you just like the leper did in this story. With every need that we have, every time we're distraught or we're in distress about something, Lord, would you help us to bring it straight to your feet? Thank you that you traded places with us. Thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.